This is the Van City Midweek Podcast. Today, we're having a conversation with Cameron Silsby.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Van City Midweek Podcast. Today, we are sitting down with Cameron Silsby, who's on staff here at Van City. Patrick and I are going to be talking with him, and we thought it would be a good idea if we spent some time talking to all the leaders in the church and talking about who they are, what their role is, how they got here, a little bit of history about Van City and their experience. And yeah, we thought that would be give some, you know, good insight into the leadership of Van City. So I'm here. Patrick's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
And Cam's here.
Yep. Hey.
So Cam, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Well, in the context of Van City, been around since kind of the beginning, so 8.5 years, right?
Yeah, sounds right. You were the second hire, correct?
Yeah. That was 8 years ago, and gosh, life looked a bit different 8 years ago. I'm just kind of thinking about that. So now I'm, you know, it's me and my wife, Hannah, and my two daughters.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you like to do when you're not at the church? Everybody's dying to know, like, what shows you're watching and podcasts you're listening to. Or
okay.
Not really, but like, yeah, what are you into? What do
yeah,
you like
well, it's my things. Okay, you know, I enjoy sports and sporting things. Like to go and play basketball with friends every week, once or twice a week. For podcasts, I love nerding out on history podcasts. And I know half the people are probably just turning this podcast off right now if I'm talking about history podcasts.
We're scared you're going to start talking about history.
Yeah. No. But then I think in this season of life, a lot of the things that is taking up my time and attention. I'm going to school right now, so it's kind of filling most of my hobby and interest slots right now. It's just getting through that. But that's fun, and it's good. It's interesting, and it's exciting stuff. So that's kind of the snapshot of how I spend my time. I don't really watch shows, so I can't suggest any shows. I occasionally watch movies, so I can't really suggest movies.
Just occasionally.
Yeah.
So you said you're into history real quick. What is your favorite thing to learn about in history? Do you have like a hobby horse? Some people who are into history have hobby horses.
Yeah. It's changed over time from like ancient history. And that was probably like because there was kind of crossover with like seminary stuff and biblical history. So there's ancient history. There's been around the mid-1900s, that world history is fascinating, like World War I, World War II, that sort of stuff. But right now, I'm actually less concerned with time period and more enjoying different personalities that talk about history and whatever they want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning.
You like to learn.
Yep.
And we have a little like a Nerf-type basketball hoop in the office, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were probably the worst at it of all the office staff, right?
I don't know. I'm pretty bad.
Really? I thought that you were the best, Levi.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That I get those two confused a lot.
I would
worst
say,
and best.
Yeah. Levi's the best at being the worst at the nerve.
Well, great.
Okay, so you're really into basketball. But can you dunk?
You know, that's debatable.
How is it debatable?
You know, there's been debates among instances of me maybe dunking or maybe not dunking with friends. And, you know, it's just how you define a dunk. You know?
It depends on if you allow trampolines or not. Whether you're dressed in a mascot outfit.
Or if the hoop's at 6 feet tall, does that count?
Sure. All right. So when you're not dunking on the court and learning about history, you're in this building. We're sitting in our office now, and you have a title at Van City. Tell us what you do at the church.
Yeah, my title is pastor of people and communities, and that kind of splits off. I mean, there's overlap between the two because Van City communities are filled with people.
Lots of people, yeah.
But there's kind of two general like areas that you can separate those out into. Communities piece is helping groups organize, function, writing curriculum for Van City communities, training leaders, coaching with leaders, and then you know, if there's situations that arise in a group where a group really needs some help or some hands-on help, that's usually my my role. And then the people side of it is you know, all sorts of just meeting with people, from people who are new to the church and checking it out to people who are maybe going through a really hard time and need somebody to talk to about that, or people who are just looking to grow in their discipleship to Jesus. So I meet with all sorts of people for all sorts of different reasons throughout the week. So those are kind of the two broad things that I usually spend my time doing.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, we were talking just a minute ago about, you know, you being the second hire here at Van City, and you've been around, I mean, 8.5 years. That's like basically before Van City was Van City. What was that like process for you, like getting involved and your family at the time? And I guess maybe that was just you and Hannah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was pre-kids.
And yeah, getting involved in Van City, and then how that the role that you have like has kind of been shaped over the years.
Yeah, I was a youth pastor at a different church in Vancouver back before Van City and all of that. And
real quick, how were you at being a youth pastor?
Oh, you know, I did my thing. I think I was okay. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
So I think I got better as time went on.
That seems like the trickiest one to be.
Yeah. 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 And the context I was in had its challenges as well.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I actually enjoyed it for what it was. You know, yeah. It wasn't like the thing that I wanted to spend the rest of my life doing, but the students were actually a ton of fun. And again, I learned a lot from them, and I hope they learned a lot from me as well in that time. So
that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, so that's what I was doing. And then you know, Josh and a bunch of people were over at Bridgetown, and Bridgetown was talking about planting a church in Vancouver. So Josh kind of tapped me on the shoulder and was like, I don't know what the heck this is going to be. I think I might be the person planting this. Would you pray about, you know, helping us plant this? And I said, sure. And I did. And long story short, it felt like Jesus was like, yeah, do this.
Cool.
Do this thing.
And a little, maybe, is it insider baseball or just inside baseball?
I think it's just inside baseball.
Look, sports sure. metaphor aren't my thing. Yeah. That's more Cam's thing.
That's true.
Regardless, for those that don't know, maybe like you, Josh is your brother-in-law. And I don't know if that's a reveal we
dun,
want to.
Dun, dun.
But, you know, so great. But so obviously you being involved and him, Josh tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, would you want to be involved in this thing? There's obviously relational connection.
Yeah.
They're established and.
Yeah. So, you know, Josh's wife, Abby, my wife, Hannah, are sisters. So that's how we're kind of brothers-in-law.
Brothers-in-law. That checks out. Yeah.
Yeah. The long way around. It's kind of the long way around. Yeah. That's how we knew each other. And, you know, when I was a youth pastor, I had Josh come and do some stuff with the youth group too. So it wasn't just out of the blue, or he like looked me up online, because I don't think you could have looked me up online, but yeah, he was familiar with the type of stuff that I like to do. I was familiar with
right. He was aware of your passion and your like ambition to do ministry stuff. Now, for a while there, you were working part time at Van City and part time at your local grocer.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was that?
You know, it was pretty wild. I will say, but it was also like a huge, it felt like a huge gift and a huge privilege. You know, so, you know, working at a local grocery store part time, and then figuring out how to navigate my hours with the church and all of that, and knowing that, you know, I wanted to do pastoral work full time if I could, if that was going to be possible. So there was this like sense in which, like, you know, this feels like vocationally like a natural next step, but it also entailed, you know, me working like 5.5 days a week. So Hannah and I joked, like, in that season, the best we could do in terms of like a spiritual discipline of Sabbath was we called it a half sab. So, because we needed a day to do errands, and then
you gotta work at what you got.
Yeah. And that worked well. And then, in that season, you know, it was like two years from doing that, give or take 2.5 years, to becoming full time. But in that season of like working at Fred Meyer and doing, working at Van City part time, starting seminary, having our first kid, it was a lot. But I really look back on that season with a lot of fondness. I actually enjoyed having kind of this dual presence in the church, and that role was really meaningful work to me, and I really enjoy it. And then having this like presence in a non-Christian space, and interacting with people who are oftentimes far from God. That also was really meaningful to me, and I really appreciated that time as something special, but ultimately as something that I knew I was most likely going to give up if I was going to be able to work full time at the church. So I tried to kind of almost like savor it, and I think I did. And not because I was thinking so clearly about this, but like through a lot of like prayer, and a lot of spiritual formation and learning and growing and all of that, Jesus kind of led me to a place of really savoring that, you know, instead of, you know, focusing on these moments of being discontent or just being like, I don't want to put yogurt on a shelf anymore. I want to do this church work full time. And Jesus just like reassuring me and teaching me in that moment of like, you know, enjoy the good that's here. Because it's not guaranteed that it's going to be here forever. You're not going to always have this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I learned and grew a ton for a lot of different reasons in that season. So it was a lot, and it was not sustainable long term. And thankfully, I didn't have to try to sustain it past what, you know, me or my family could handle.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you said of noticing or realizing seasons of life where it's temporary, and there are times when you just need to savor it. Like, really remember this because it's going to change. Mm-hmm. And you'll want to look back on it and not be remembering that you were in a negative mindset the entire time, because that can feel like a waste.
Yeah, for sure.
And what was your wake-up time during the season?
Oh, man.
I remember this.
Yeah, it was 3:30 in the morning.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's like a bedtime for me sometimes.
Yeah, it was. So I could have woken up at 4, but I did the thing in the season, and I wouldn't recommend it for most people. It worked, and I feel like it was something that Jesus had kind of led me into as like a gift or a sacrifice or like an offering to Jesus. But I could have woken up at 4, but I kind of adjusted my alarm earlier and earlier through the weeks. Like, you know, every week I would adjust it 2 minutes earlier until I got this like half an hour chunk in like the early dark cool of the morning to spend time with Jesus, which was really meaningful to me. As much as it could be, as I was honestly still half asleep.
Right. Yeah.
I was not at my best at 3:30 in the morning. But I felt very, very in tune with kind of the rhythms of the Spirit to do this. And so I did it and it was good. And I really never want to wake up at 3:30 in the morning again.
Yeah, I don't blame you. What was bedtime to get up at 3:30?
Oh man, I was not sleeping enough. Just FYI.
How could you be?
Yeah. I mean it was like
6 o'clock.
It was like, oh yeah. Evening. No. It was like, so it'd be, I think my sleeping rhythm was like I'd be going to bed at between 9:30 and 10:30. So that's bad. That's like 5 hours, 5.5 hours of sleep. So I'd come home from work around 2 and just take a really, I hate naps, but I had to take a nap.
Yeah,
so I would nap for like maybe a couple hours.
Yeah.
And that helped. So, you know, overall, you know, probably getting like 6-7 hours of sleep
broken
a night.
Up, yeah.
But yeah, not quality, broken up. I would not suggest people doing that.
Yes, we do not recommend that. Yeah. If you can help it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, over the years then at being here and pastoring here and just being involved with stuff, what would you say that you've seen in terms of like growth? You know, what's been going on at the church the last 8.5 years that you've witnessed and cool things maybe?
Yeah, the growth maybe in like a very like overt way, and then like spiritual growth I've seen. Like the overt way is like I feel like when we planted like 8 years ago, and I mean the three of us sitting in this room were there the first day it planted,
right?
All of that, you know, thinking about the church then, and it felt young. I mean, I was in my late 20s, you know, like I was fairly young. It felt like the church, a lot of the people were kind of in their 20s, maybe early 30s. A lot of people hadn't started families yet or weren't married. And then like over these 8 years, seeing kind of that organic growth into now we're a church with 1 million kids running around.
Yeah.
So that's one of those changes. And I think it's cool in the sense that like we've kind of, as a church, grown together in that way.
Yeah, totally.
You know, through a lot of different seasons of life. And then the growth that I've seen spiritually would definitely be around a willingness to engage in spiritual formation and different types of spiritual disciplines in order to draw close to Jesus. I think early on when we endeavored in doing like practices and stuff like that, there was a lot of resistance to different practices, and I mean whole communities that would be like, we're going to take this whole practice off, we don't like this one. It's like, okay. But it feels like we've gone through the season of like teaching, and I think we've gotten better at helping people realize like different ways they can engage with Jesus, even if they're new. And it's really cool to see people actually going for it and experiencing Jesus and growing closer to him because of that. That's kind of the general.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I witnessed this myself. What do you think is a contributing factor for that growth? It seems like there is a very different willingness around here these days to, like you said, engage in these things, where 7 years ago it was kind of like dragging people out. Come on, just try to sing a song, you know, like, yeah. What do you think has changed, or how has that changed?
You know, I would imagine that part of that would be just our growth in age. You know,
yeah,
our
totally.
Our maturity in that sense, and our experience of Jesus showing up again and again. You almost like build trust over time with Jesus as he continues to show up. That there's that sort of thing. And then I just it makes me think about potentially like key people in our church or community leaders that have had seasons of like leading or kind of influencing the culture of our church in a certain way that has helped kind of shape this culture that's now, it feels very sustained and self-sustaining in that sense. Like the momentum's going where now we can invite people to do practices, and they're willing to kind of step out and try something new.
Yeah. And then all that time all these years.
Yeah, 8.5 years.
Eight and a half years. So we're going to, well, in that time, have you, surely you've had some like favorite memories or maybe even funny memories that come to mind if somebody asks you?
Yeah.
Don't name names if you, if it'll be embarrassing.
No, I think a lot of them actually revolve around the men's trip and just the funny, like crazy stuff that we tend to get into on the men's trip. And I don't know if like retelling the stories, you know, you just, you don't get that context. You start naming names and then, you know, it's like, meh, you know, it doesn't translate as well, but those are the times when I look back. And it's like the funny moments and it's the moments that I just start laughing about. And then on the men's trip, there's also those moments where you're like, whoa, that was profound. I mean, we've been doing them since the beginning of the church, these men's trips. And, right. And it's interesting to see some of those people, still at the church and see how those moments have actually made a lasting impact on their lives.
Yeah.
And that's like, wow. Like they're silly, there's fun, there's funny, and very profound. And I think the men's trips kind of encapsulate all of those things all together, which is pretty cool.
Oh, it's great. And that's a great example of seeing growth because I agree. I mean, we've been on these men's trips and they're like one of the things you look forward to every year. And we shared it with Bridgetown for the first couple of years because we were still trying to get the hang of it. And that was completely, for years now, been our own thing. And like you said, at first, it was hard to get people to even come to these things. Now they look forward to it all year and they are hopping on the swing or whatever silly thing we're doing. And then at the same time, getting in the middle of the room to be prayed and prophesied over. And it's just a really, it's just a great example of the growth we've seen in our people. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, I agree.
With all the fun and funny moments, what have been harder moments or harder seasons or times at the church? Because surely, I mean, we've all sat here on harder days and harder like summers where people aren't coming as much. Or like what comes to mind when you think of a hard season?
Yeah, there's definitely like individual stories or situations that are just, they really weigh heavily. But I think the overarching season that was consistently the hardest was like the first probably 6 months or a year of COVID, where you know, I you know, I'm not a huge fan of like doing online church and digital stuff. In fact, ironically enough, I was in seminary taking their first ever elective class on a theology of online church.
I remember you telling us this and you were just saying how much you hated it.
Yeah. Where it's just like, man, this is not my thing. You know, and so it's like January of 2020, I started this class. We'd have our class time. And at the end of the class, you know, the professor like goes around the room of like these pastors and church leaders and students. And they're like, okay, so who's really into this online church stuff? And people raise their hand, you know, okay, who's on the fence? And then, you know, other people raise their hand and then they're like, and who has taken this class and is like, for sure, you know, this is not for them. Online church is not for them. And I raised my hand. I was like one of two people in like a 30 person class raising our hand. That was like the last week of February, 2020.
Man,
right before
really
3 weeks later, we were setting up a camera in like, you know, the basement of the church we were meeting at that time, being like, welcome to online church, you know.
Which that, I mean, that whole, yeah, obviously that whole season was really interesting. And I don't know, do you have any thoughts about like, you know, there's probably so many churches that, you know, didn't make it through that season, or really struggled, or are still like kind of struggling to come back. Would you feel like, or what would you say maybe about like why you think Van City has or was able to kind of weather that, or how we made it through that, and do you see any kind of like, I don't know, growth or strengthening through that season?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think there was a lot of reasons. I not to like toot our own horn, but obviously it was very like politicized and very divisive about what you're going to do. And I think from the beginning, there was just a sense of like, we're going to do it this way. We're going to follow the rules as they're dictated. But not any more than that. You know, we're just going to do this thing and we're not going to get over crazy about this. We're not going to just start ignoring all these rules. And it just kind of was a matter of fact kind of thing for us of like, this is just how we're doing it. And I think that helped, not to say that I'm sure some people were perturbed one way or the other, but I think it helped people understand like where we were coming from and what to expect. And then also, you know, I think our Van City communities, especially in that time, having a group of people where you could see and meet with and talk with weekly was really, really valuable. And it was pretty amazing how consistently people were still participating in their small groups and how important that was to them. And I think that helped our church maintain a level of cohesiveness, even though it was such like a kind of disconnected stretch. And a lot of churches didn't make it because of that, you know? So I think people's like value of their Van City community helped our whole church kind of weather COVID and come out the other side, like,
yeah, totally
remarkably well.
Yeah, I remember those days of having Zoom community but also kind of making the most of it, you know, those nights of like having doing like the online games, like, you know, the whole Jackbox thing or whatever, and having fun with the whole community, even though I'm sitting in my backyard up, you know, like
people were coming up with crazy ideas. They were like dropping off cooking supplies and then they would get online together and everybody would try to cook the same thing. It was like really interesting and fun ways that, like you said, they were desperately trying to stay connected because they saw the value in that.
Yeah.
And I remember, Cam, me and you and Josh having to record the teachings and the announcements and all, because we were doing even the gatherings online at the time because we had to. But that was certainly a low. That was terrible.
It really felt like, you know, when 2020 and COVID hit, we were just like 4 years into the church, and it felt like at that time, okay, we're kind of growing up together. We feel like we're hitting a different,
there's a good momentum.
We have like a maturation there where we're feeling like we kind of got this. And then it was almost like you had to restart the whole church and reconceptualize how to do church and what church was. And like the like intensity of that was just sitting in front of that camera, trying to do a sermon, trying to engage with our church through teaching and through some sort of replacement of the gathering. And it was honestly taxing, spiritually and mentally and emotionally. And we were okay. It's not like it felt, we weren't like, didn't feel dangerous or anything like that, but it was just, this is not what any of us signed up for.
Yeah. And there was no end in sight or no understanding of that. In this whole time period, one of my favorite funny moments with you, Cam, is when we were back in the meeting in person and still with, you know, masks, and we had the little 6-foot rods to make sure no one sat next to each other and all that stuff. And in the midst of all that, there was usually in the summer, we have some smoke come down where we live here. And it was a crazy amount of smoke.
Oh, from the wildfires.
For the wildfires, And I remember we were sitting in the balcony, and Josh and I were looking at the projections on the computer trying to figure out something. And we were like, man, it feels smoky in here. I don't know if we should do it. And then Cam spoke up and said, I don't know, guys. And we turned around, and he was sitting like 5 rows behind us. We couldn't see him.
It was so smoky inside the building.
We're like, oh, yeah, call it.
That's not
good. Oh, man.
If there wasn't a more like post-apocalyptic feeling, what was COVID plus the wildfire smoke that was just like raining ash on. Yeah. It was just like, what? Yeah. What are we doing?
Then we had like a heat dome and all that stuff.
It was, yeah,
it was a wild time.
Yeah,
but hey, we survived.
We did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you admittedly have a huge responsibility in meeting with the people. So most of the time, when you're working, you are meeting with people. And I think that a lot of the reason that we've seen this growth is the work that you've been putting into it. So I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm glad you're here doing it.
Yeah, that means a lot. Thanks.
Yeah.
What do you think, Levi? Is he doing a good job?
Yes, a fantastic job.
Great.
And, you know, all these, like, over the years now getting to work with Cam, you know, and I've had a great experience. And I think, Cam, yeah, you've done just a really tremendous job of pastoring people and encouraging people. And I've certainly felt that and experienced that over the years, and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks. I didn't expect this affirmation. I appreciate that, guys. Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. So with all that in mind, as we move forward, what do you hope to see the church continue to grow into? What would you like to see the church at in 5 years from now, or from your position, what you do with it?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've noticed in the last season, which has been really encouraging and exciting, is just more and more people and leaders getting kind of that, doing that kind of one-on-one connected care with people in the church and seeing them like thrive in their gifts and in their wirings and how they can kind of serve the church. And it's really exciting for me to see that. And it's, you know, it's almost like you're doing a big stew or something like that, and you're just adding more flavor to it and different flavors mm-hmm. to it. And it's just more and more delicious.
Man, I love
wow.
it.
Wow. Yeah.
Man, it is. I need to eat lunch. But
that's just my, you know, one of the other, little side rail, all the, great times at Van City has been the chili cook-off.
Oh yeah.
I remember
yeah.
one time I made a chili and there were comments of like, you know, it's too flavorful. Just too much flavor in it.
Yeah, I remember it's that. Like, it was. You had like cinnamon or something.
I think I lost that year.
Yeah. You did.
But yeah. on the note of food, Cam does regularly stink up the office with his microwavable Thai food.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. And by stink up, Patrick means he always comments about how good it smells.
It does smell good in the moment, but it lingers so long that it starts true. To smell yeah. a little questionable.
Yeah, I can see this. Yeah, it fades into what is this smell? Yeah, yeah. yeah.
As totally. We all do.
Totally.
Thanks for listening to the Van City Midweek Podcast. To know more about what our church is doing, go to vancity.church.